By playful peregrination, we come at last to our destination. The point at which heart and mind were parted, the garden path where it all got started. Wit bids us not see false, but face to face, to fold this ruptured world in one embrace, to cry if we must, to laugh when we can, if just to find the way from God to man. In the beginning was the pun. Samuel Beckett. One Bad Apple, or An Apology for Paronomasia, in which the author argues that puns are not wit's lowest form, but its highest expression. Once upon a time, in 382 CE to be exact, Eve bit into an apple. Seeing it was good, she offered the apple to Adam, and he also took a bite. Whereupon Adam and Eve's eyes were opened, and they realized they were naked. Ashamed at having broken God's sole commandment not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Adam and Eve hid themselves when he came walking in the garden. And the rest, of course, is history. God, in his wrath, decreed that henceforth man must earn his daily bread by working the earth, and woman must suffer agony in childbirth. As a final punishment, he cast Eve and Adam forever out of Eden. Prior to the 4th century, however, no one knew exactly which forbidden fruit Eve and Adam ate. Genesis records only that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was off limits. It does not specify what edible flower that tree produced. Apples appeared in 382 because that's when Pope Damasus I asked St. Jerome to translate the old Latin Bible into the simpler Latin Vulgate, which became the definitive edition of the text for the next 1,000 years. In the Vulgate, the adjectival form of evil, malus, is malum, which also happens to be the word for apple. The similarity between malum, evil, and malum, apple, prompted St. Jerome to pick that word to describe what Eve and Adam ate, thereby ushering sin into the world. The truth is, though, the apple is innocent, and this unjustly maligned fruit's association with original sin comes down to nothing more than a pun. Puns straddle that happy fault where sound and sense collide, where surface similarities of spelling or pronunciation meet above conflicting seams of meaning. By grafting the idea of evil onto the word for apple, St. Jerome ensured that every time we recall Adam and Eve's fateful disobedience in the garden, we are reminded of the fruit of a deciduous tree of the rose family. From the beginning, punning has been considered the lowest form of wit, a painful fall from conversational grace. What other form of speech is so widely reviled that we must immediately apologize for using it? Sorry, no pun intended. But puns do not deserve such a bitter appellation. Despite its bad reputation, punning is, in fact, among the highest displays of wit. Indeed, puns point to the essence of all true wit, the ability to hold in the mind two different ideas about the same thing at the same time. And the pun's primacy is demonstrated by its strategic use in the oldest sacred stories, texts, and myths. The Bible is replete with puns, even without St. Jerome's help. God fashioned Adam from Adama, Biblical Hebrew for earth. Eve's ancient Hebrew name is Hava, derived from Ahava, which means longing or love, but is also related to the words for craving, mischief, and calamity. Punning was even present at the foundation of the Christian faith itself when Jesus famously said he intended to build his church upon Peter, whose name in Aramaic and in Greek means rock. In Egyptian mythology, the human race sprang from the sun god Ra's tears. Though written differently, the words for people and tears had the same pronunciation, Remch, in ancient Egyptian. The opening verses of the Indian epic, the Ramayana, condemn a hunter who fells a beautiful crane with an arrow, but the same words can also be construed as praising the Hindu god Vishnu for felling the demon Ravana. And the classic Chinese philosophical text Tao Te Ching begins with a triple pun. The way, Tao, that can be talked about, Tao, is not the constant way, Tao. Punning for